This is The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And I'm your host, Julian Joyello, back in the studio again with you today, and of course, Ben Starr in the studio with me.
Great to be back, Julian, and it's, just feeling the turning of the seasons here in New York City, feeling that crisp September air. It's very refreshing. I'm ready.
It's nice. I like it. I like a little bit of a light jacket. We've been bringing you guys some older stuff from the late Armand DeMille, the original host of The Positive Mind, of course, as you know, for 35 years. And we brought him to you last Wednesday a little bit more. And we like bringing you the older archives because I know we get requests a lot about that.
And that's what we're trying to do, is both bring you new content and honor the incredible contributions that Armand made to WBAI and New York City by bringing you some of that older stuff, too. But today we're going to explore a topic, Julian and I, that we found to be really relevant and really timely right now.
Yeah, it's an exciting topic, and it begins with trust. So how do we trust people? You know, especially after you've been or felt betrayed. Well, human beings need to trust, starting from the beginning. You know, trust allays anxiety, it helps lift depression, and it makes it possible to consistently invest interest and enjoyment in one another, right? There could be no civilization, enduring health, or mental wellness without trust.
Right, everything runs on trust, right? All kinds of transactions and dealings and relationships.
Yeah, and the most ordinary interactions would be impossible without some degree of trust, right? You know, buying something from a cart, you have to trust that he's giving you the right price, or that the food is safe, that he's got some decency to not just screw you over, right? And in contrast, distrust is fraught with anxiety and resentment. No loneliness is lonelier than distrust. And this is coming from an article in Psychology Today by Stephen Stosny. Now, intimate betrayal, abuse, infidelity, deceit, financial manipulation fractures the ability to trust anyone who gets close to us, including friends, relatives, even children. Yet the human need to trust persists, creating an internal storm of wanting to trust while also being terrified of it. Most people respond to this internal turmoil in three different ways. And we wanted to bring this to you because it's really, really interesting. I mean, what way do you trust the world, trust people, trust your family? We have three ways we want to bring you. The first one being blind trust. This is what Stephen calls blind trust. So you put faith in someone without regard to a demonstrated reliability or trustworthiness. So just sort of running out there saying, everybody's implicitly pretty decent, and I'm just going to trust them because why not? Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Maybe the way a kid might trust their parents, right?
Right, yeah. Or a kid trusts most people, I think, a lot of the time. But especially their parents. Suspiciousness is the next one. So this is focused on the other side of it, on the mere possibility of betrayal. So staying alert all the time, worried, anxious that one person you trust, which you've never really trusted, finally, when you give someone trust, they're going to betray you.
So this is that example you just gave of the lonely, distrustful person.
Right. It keeps us in a state of hypervigilance and all but eliminates close connections to others.
So, and it's very alienating.
Right. So, you know, you say you finally get into a group you like, but then you say, oh, I don't know if I can trust these people. Should I even do it? Forget it. I'm just going to go home being by myself, which works for some people. You know, being by yourself maybe is what you want to do, and that's how you feel satisfied. But
it is a lonely existence.
It is a lonely way to go. And then finally we come to the third way, which seems to be the healthy way to do this, which is wise trust. And this is what Stephen calls wise trust. And wise trust assesses the probability of betrayal in recognition that we are all simply human beings capable of betrayal in weaker moments. Realistically, it's possible that any of us could betray a loved one. But blind trust, the one before, the sort of looking across and saying,
almost
everybody,
naive.
Yeah, it's almost right. Naive, sort of just saying, oh, I trust everybody because why not, you know? That denies this darker characteristic of human nature that you can be betrayed, while suspiciousness exaggerates it. So wise trust is an assessment that the probability of betrayal is probably low. You know, it's probably, most of the people you're going to meet are probably not going to betray you.
While maintaining the notion that even though it may not be a probability, it is a possibility. And yet without having the cynicism that the, what was the second one you'd mentioned?
Suspiciousness.
Right. Without the cynicism of the suspicious character.
Right. So we've got these three ways: blind trust, suspiciousness, and wise trust. So which one are you? You know, think about that for a second. And what happens when you can't trust yourself? Because these all kind of talk about other people and other people in the world, sort of assuming that you do trust yourself. But I don't know if a lot of people do trust themselves, you know? Do you question everyone else because you might believe that they think like you do?
That's an excellent point.
Right. If you met yourself on the street one day, just a copy of yourself exactly as you are right now, and you knew what you were thinking, would you trust you? Now, this is a little question I've always thought about, and I wanted to bring it to you guys. Just think about that. Would you trust yourself if you met yourself? If you were, you know, at a business and you were selling life insurance.
Would you do business with you?
Would you do business with you? Right.
It's important. And I want to touch on the second suspicious mentality that you mentioned. Because I think that sort of mentality, I don't think we're necessarily born with that, right? I think that's a learned mentality and a reaction to events, maybe traumas and experiences that we have in the world. And what's happening when an individual carries that suspicious mentality is that they're holding on to something. Maybe they're holding on to a lot of things. Off the top of my head, I think they're definitely holding on to some kind of resentments.
Mm-hmm.
They're holding on to guilt.
Right.
Right? Like you said, would you trust you?
Right. Would you trust yourself? Because if you've done something, let's say someone's, let's say you've cheated on a significant other before.
Now maybe you might be more likely to suspect that your significant others are going to cheat on you.
Right. Because of this experience that you had with yourself, and you know that this could happen, and they never found out, but this could happen actually to someone else, you know?
Yeah. So like I said, I think that suspicious person... the person with the suspicious mentality is holding on to things, notably resentment. And that's where I think we want to transition from talking about this notion of trust, right, towards a broader concept of forgiveness. And to me, resentment is almost the opposite of forgiveness. Resentment is holding on tight no matter what to not just the trauma and the pain of an experience, but to the anger and the bitterness around the person or people who did something that affected you.
Well, yeah, and also speaking about bitterness and skepticism, it's interesting because what about the place you live? I mean, we're talking about, you kind of start as a child as this blindly trusting being that walks out into the world and says, I trust somebody gives me food, I can eat it, it's safe. Somebody says something to me, I believe it, the sky is blue, and as you go along, it sort of changes a lot of the time.
Yeah, one day on the schoolyard, someone's holding a football and tells you to come kick it, and then right at the last second, they pull it away,
right,
and you go flying.
Yeah, and we were talking about New York City. I mean, we're broadcasting today here in WBAI from New York City, and I know a lot of our listeners are here in New York City, and New York City is a skeptical city. It's skeptical because, I grew up here, and... you grow up here saying, at first you say, okay, the football's going to be there. But then every single time you go to kick it, it's gone.
Right.
A lot of the time in New York City. So, I mean, I was saying, let's say you're from Des Moines, Idaho.
Iowa.
Iowa. Des Moines, Iowa.
Or Galveston, Texas.
Or Galveston, Texas. Or Rome, any state.
Right.
Because there's a Rome in every state.
Springfield, Illinois.
Right. You come from some faraway spot, and you hop off the subway for the first time in New York City, and you're handed a free CD, and you're like, wow, free CD of music from this guy. He's such a nice guy. And suddenly, that trust you had in humanity that was sort of implicit falters when he says, oh, it's free, but it's actually $10, and you're going to have to give it to me now because you owe me, because I gave you the CD. And you're saying, wait, what? I don't understand. And kind of New York kicks you in the face. And this happens all over, and it makes us skeptical. And I've been to Taiwan several times, and I've talked about it a couple times on air here. And Taiwan is a totally opposite place. You go there, it's a small tropical country, everybody's very respectful and kind of shy and quiet. And if you ask anybody for directions, for example, they'll spend 20 minutes walking you to the place that you need to go, because they sort of assume that everybody is a sort of decent person, just inherently. And it's interesting how it changes place to place.
I mean, even in this country, you go to some smaller towns, you know, maybe you go to the Midwest or to the South, and there's a much more sort of openness in just in the streets. People smile at strangers. People say hello, good morning, good afternoon.
Right, yeah. I mean, I also want to talk a little bit about the way we think before we go into forgiveness, which is really exciting. I mean, I have a good friend who would have problems with his girlfriend all the time, and he would tell me, you know, I don't like how my girlfriend is thinking about other men all the time. Every time we're out, someone walks by who's more attractive, some model guy, whatever. And I know she's thinking, I wish I could sleep with them. And I'm looking at him and I say, well, is that what you think when you see a more attractive girl? Maybe you're projecting your thoughts onto her. I mean, it's possible that she's just looking around or liked his shoes. Or maybe she wants to sleep with him. But we don't know, really, do we? I mean, we say, okay, I think that's what she's doing, but that's just because that's maybe how I'm thinking.
And that goes back to what you said, Julian. Would you trust you?
Right.
So in the case of your friend, would you date you? Right?
Right. If
knowing what you know about your personality, your mentality, and your behaviors, would you date yourself? I know it's kind of a funny question, but it's worth exploring.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, you'll never know exactly what the other person is thinking. So how will you feel comfortable with people, whether in a relationship or just people in the world, for the rest of your life if you can't read their minds? You know, we're not going to have some crazy movie plot where you zap your finger in the sink and all of a sudden you can read minds. It's not how it works here. So what happens then? And what happens when you really don't know what other people are thinking? Can you trust people?
Well, there has to be a level of trust. I mean, we can't go through life constantly skeptical and suspicious about everything. I mean, it's mentally and emotionally exhausting.
Right. So how do we come to trust ourselves? It comes back to this idea of forgiveness.
Forgiveness and letting go. And it's a really heavy spiritual topic, and I think it's really interesting timing, because right now in New York City is a very spiritual next couple days. We have the Pope in town. If he's not here yet, he will be, I think, either this afternoon or tomorrow. We have this evening begins the holiest holiday of the Jewish calendar, which happens to be a holiday about forgiveness. And also this week we have Eid, which is a very significant Muslim holiday. So a lot of people right now in New York are having kind of a spiritual week, a week of reflection and, you know, thinking about some of this stuff. And we wanted to talk about it today on The Positive Mind. Ben Starr and Julian Joiello with you here on WBAI.
We are.
And we're talking about trust and forgiveness. And
right. Forgiveness is really a really interesting topic, I think, because it's a little bit confusing. It often comes from a very spiritual place. The people that are able to do it often look to their spiritual, religious
right. And every major religion has teachings around forgiveness. I mean, even, you know, you look at Christianity, it's one of the central tenets, maybe the central tenet of the religion, is the notion of forgiveness and compassion. But let's talk about that, Julian. What is forgiveness, and what, maybe more importantly, what forgiveness isn't? I mean, forgiveness, it's a difficult thing, and it doesn't mean that you're excusing someone else for what they may have done to you.
Right.
It's not, that is not what it is. It's not excusing, rationalizing, or justifying.
Pardon, you're not giving them a pardon.
The hurtful
for what they've
action
done.
that's been committed.
Right, you don't need to really tell a person that they're forgiven, do you? I mean,
I don't think so, because you know what, Julian? I think forgiveness in a lot of ways is a one-way street, and I don't think it's about the other person. I think that is more reconciliation, what you just mentioned. I think forgiveness is something that we do for ourselves, right? It's letting go of a weight. So I don't think that you have to tell the person they're forgiven. I mean, you could forgive someone that's not even in your life.
Right. A lot of the time people do feel like they have to say, I forgive you, you know, dad. I forgive you, honey, whatever. And it's sort of not as much about that we're finding out, I think.
How many of you out there are holding on to something, a hurt or a pain that was done maybe a long time ago, maybe by someone that you don't even speak to anymore, maybe by someone who passed away since.
Yeah.
You don't have to contact the person to forgive them, you know? You could just forgive from within, which is, I guess, why we're also talking about what forgiveness does not mean.
Right. And also, forgiving from within, does that mean you trust yourself? I think it does. I think it comes to the point where you start saying, I can trust myself. I can trust the world. I can forgive the world for what it is. I know people do what they do to get by. Right. And this was a big thing that Armand used to tell us when we were doing counseling with him. And he would say, well, people, this is one really important thing to learn. People do what they do to get by.
People just have their strategies to survive.
Right.
And we talked about that recently, too. Strategies for survival.
And, you know, we like to hear from you guys. 212-757-5555. We have our number back up. Our phones were down for a little bit. But we're back here. WBAI taking these calls, 212-757-5555. We want to have a conversation with you about what kind of person you are regarding trust. Do you trust the world? Are you skeptical of everything? Have you found yourself almost impossible to forgive people that have wronged you in your life? Or is it something that comes easily?
Or is it hard to forgive yourself? That's a big one too, Julian.
Right, exactly.
And Armand used to talk about that too. He used to say, hey, don't give yourself such a hard time.
Right.
Sometimes maybe it's not your fault, right? I mean, we don't need to be so hard on ourselves. But it is interesting that forgiveness does have such a central role in so many religions. And even, you know, in 12-step programs, Julian, like AA, for example, the eighth and ninth steps are all about forgiveness and making amends, right? They say, you know, to make a list of people that they've harmed and then to go on and try to make amends to those people.
Right. And this those amends, are they for the other people or are they for you?
Exactly.
You know, we want to think about that. And actually, we have Ray on the line. Ray, how's it going?
Okay. How are you guys? How you doing?
We're doing well.
Good,
doing
Ray.
Well.
Thanks for calling in.
Good, good. Yeah, I was listening. It was interesting because I was just thinking a lot about forgiveness. And to refer to the first part of what you were saying, being suspicious, I don't know if I would say I'm suspicious of people, but I like to get to know people, you know, and
right.
I feel more comfortable with people who I know on a deeper basis. Like, I was just talking to a friend of mine, a good friend, this morning, and I don't like to be in groups. I really don't like to be in groups.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fellow for group energy because I find there's a lot of things going on with the group. You usually don't know most of the people in the group too well. And I'd rather have a more comfortable, relaxed conversation.
Right, something one-on-one.
One-on-one.
Right.
Because it's easier to get a handle on someone one-on-one, and then the trust comes quicker, right?
Yes, yes. And what I found in groups, like years ago I used to be in a church, and I'm not in a church anymore, okay? I go occasionally, but, you know, what I found is that there's a lot of jealousy. Like, I had a task that I had to perform, performing attendance, right, taking attendance.
And right.
I found that people were jealous that I was given that task. It's like, I was, you know, it wasn't like I wasn't anybody. I was just a guy taking attendance, you know, but other people became jealous because I received that task. You know,
right.
That to me is pettiness, you know. It's not what life is about, you know. Then you're looking at, you're always scanning the field to, you know, it's like a crab in a barrel.
Yeah, it's hard not to look around all the time and sort of say, can I trust these people? Do I know what they're thinking? Why is this person jealous? Why are they being so petty about this? And it's weird because you start realizing that the only person you can totally understand is yourself.
Hopefully,
right. We hope to get to that point. And
right.
and that's why we always try to talk about understanding
yourself. It's a
great
start, right?
Right. It is a good start, I think, to...
Right. I just wanted to say one other thing, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah,
I know
please,
you got
please.
Other callers, is that I was thinking about forgiveness, and I happened to run into somebody who I hadn't seen in a while, who I have something against, you know, and I was examining that. And what I realized is the reason I haven't forgiven is because I want to see that person suffer.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see that person suffer.
And that's a real feeling, you know,
I'm just being honest here.
Yeah.
Like, he made me suffer. And then I realized, you know what? if I do that, I'll never be free. I have to let it go, and I happen to believe in a creator. Just, you know, that's it. It's not for me to see that person suffers. And I'll never have a relationship with that person, okay? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, in order for me to be free in my head, I had to let it go.
And absolutely.
I'm in the process of that now, you know.
You know, Ray, a lot of people, I mean, you're definitely not alone in that. A lot of people who feel that they've been hurt or wronged, they feel the way you feel, right? They wish ill on what they see as the source. And right. Julian and I were talking about that. And I think what it comes down to is to hold on to the resentment. In a way, it's empowering, right? Because yeah. now you feel you have this fantasy of the other person's misfortune that's going to yeah. surely arrive, right? Yeah. Because they've earned it. And in your head, in a way, it's empowering. But, you know, there's this famous quote, and it's been misattributed to a lot of people. It's been attributed to the Buddha. It's been attributed to Nelson Mandela. But I don't think those guys actually said it. It's tough to find the exact source of the quote, but it's something like, resentment is the poison that I drink to kill you. Right? And that's really something that Julian and I discussed a lot before the show, is that in the end, really holding on to this stuff, you know, you're letting the other person live rent-free in your head.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, and but those were my two observations, you know, of what you guys were talking about. So I agree with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in and being honest with us, Ray.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Take
Bye.
Care.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. I want to take your calls about forgiveness, letting go, trust. What kind of truster are you? We talked about the three types of trust at the beginning of the program. The blind trust, which is an almost naive trust, right? It's where you trust almost everyone and everything. And then the other extreme, which is the suspicious person who does not trust at all, who's skeptical and suspicious of everything. And then the third type, right? The wise trust. The person who has a measured view of people and situations, who knows that the probability for betrayal is low, but that there is a possibility of betrayal, and yet isn't cynical about it. So once again, the number to call, 212-757-5555. You're listening to The Positive Mind on WBAI. We have a caller on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, good
Marilyn
afternoon.
Here.
Marilyn, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
What are your thoughts on this topic and subject?
Well, I'm afraid I have such a negative viewpoint, or used to, because I would say that I used to be really unforgiving, you know? And I don't forgive very easily, but the main person that I have needed to forgive, I hardly ever think about, and which is wonderful, you know? So it's not like they're dwelling in my mind or anything like that.
Right.
But, you know, I want to make a point about, you're talking about people with their spirituality and religion and so on, helping them. What about humanism? What about people who are not, who don't have any religion? Like myself.
Well, I don't think I don't think that, you know, religion is a requirement for forgiveness or even to live an ethical life. You know, I think there's nothing that says that you have to have a religion to be a good person and to have a good heart and to do the right thing. I just mentioned it because it happens to be a week with a lot of different religious events that are happening generally around here. So a lot of people are in tune with that. But, you know, Marilyn, I agree with you. There's nothing that says that you can't be ethical or a good person without religion.
Yes, I just thought you know, you probably forgot to mention that aspect, and I did get interviewed and it will be published in the Bayside Courier also about the Pope's visit. I just remember in this week's Bayside Courier. Anyway, yes, I used to be so filled with resentment, but I am not anymore.
And what happened? What
but
happened
I
to change
still,
that?
I still don't think actively now that I have forgiven this person who I had so much so much dislike and resentment against. But it's just as if I have put them out of my mind, you know?
It's interesting because in a way you've forgiven yourself and the situation that's happened. I mean, you haven't forgiven this person for what they did. You haven't said, I'm going to pardon you for what they did to me. I'm okay with what they did. But instead, you've sort of moved on and sort of forgiven and forgotten in that sense. And in a way, you're not living with that hatred as much anymore. And you're kind of doing what we're talking about.
Yes, well, thank you. Maybe that is it. But whenever the topic of this person comes up or whenever they try to contact me, there is still that strong feeling, which, thank goodness, it's just very, very rarely, you know. But perhaps it's because the person, well, I know it's not a requirement, but the person doesn't acknowledge, you know, what they did.
Right, they don't even consider it as a
bad
thing, necessarily.
It's very difficult with that, you know, especially if it's a parent and if it was major abuse, you know.
Right.
And they try to pretend that everything was good and... you get what I mean.
Absolutely. And so just to go back to what we said earlier, Marilyn, we're not advocating forgiving by, say, excusing or rationalizing away what's been done. And we're also not saying that, you know, you shouldn't have feelings about a situation
those
one way or another.
Those feelings are actually really important to have because it makes you accept yourself more. And you know, you know you're not crazy. What happened was something that was wrong, and you know that, and you're aware of that, and you're kind of moving forward anyways. Sorry, Marilyn, we're actually getting close to the break, and we want to get one more call, but thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us today.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wonderful show. Bye.
Thank you so much. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. I almost said the old number. I'm glad I didn't slip and say the old number. We're talking about forgiveness, trust, how you forgive. Is it harder to forgive others or yourself? Sometimes it can be very difficult to forgive yourself. Sometimes the guilt and the self-doubt and these negative feelings that we have about ourselves can be the hardest ones to let go of. And in a way, the most powerful once we do let go of them. So I think we have time for one short call. Before we go to the break, we got keep this one short. Caller Lee, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I've been listening, and I have some thoughts about you were talking about being suspicious of others. You know, I feel like I used to get taken advantage of a lot and abuse, and I finally have resolved this through learning more about a covert verbal abuse tactics that are rampant. And now when I'm assessing someone as a friend or, you know, I really pay attention at the beginning to how they interact. And since I know, I can see if they're setting up a situation where they want to, you know, be dominant or superior and, you know, setting up an abusive, covertly abusive situation, and then I just move on, you know? And
so what you're saying is you've learned to identify red flags. Is that what you're saying? You've learned how to pick out warning signs in other people.
No, they're not even red. I don't think they're red flags. It's them, you know, engaging in their usual behavior, which is relating to other people in an abusive manner, even though it may be very covert. And it's like, I am better than you. I am superior to you. And when I see that they're engaging in this, then I just don't, even if there are other, you know, reasons that I might want to be friends with them, or I just say, forget it. It's not going to work. It's just going to be a headache.
So
and
this,
move
this...
on. And now I have wonderful people around me, you know, maybe a small amount, but...
Right, so
I don't
now
think it's so mysterious if you understand abuse.
No, and that sounds like you've got wise trust. That's what we were talking about. It's this idea that you're not totally suspicious of everybody. You're not blindly trusting everyone. Instead, you've learned from history, but you've also, you know, allowed yourself to be compassionate to others.
And kept the door open, the new
and
people.
And kept the door open to the people that, that seem like they're worth it. And we're actually coming to a break right now. Thank you so much for calling, Lee. Appreciate
okay,
that.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you so much. And this is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. And I'm Julian, and Ben's here in the studio with me, as always.
And we'll be back after a short musical break.
Thank you very much.
Can't trust you, baby. All you do is lie all the time. I can't trust you, woman. All you do is lie all the time. You're a trustworthy woman. And little girl, I can't get you out of my mind. When I first met you, baby, girl, you said your name was Mary Jane. Wow. I first met you, woman. Look at that. She told me her name was Mary Jane. Everybody down at the nightclub, y'all. Everybody knew the woman by another name. Hey, oh, what you say? Mercy.
Big Pete Pearson with Trustworthy Woman here on The Positive Mind, 99.5 FM, WBAI on your dial. You can hear us here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. as we bring you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We have a caller on the line who says this is the first time she's ever called any radio show ever. So welcome, Cynthia. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
You there, Cynthia?
Yes, I am. How are you? I just wanted to thank you for having this important topic, which most people generally speak about, but, you know, very rarely is there any, you know, larger forum, especially on radio, to discuss it and take questions and calls.
Sure.
But I appreciate, you know, the discussion, and I had a question regarding wise trust And I wanted to find out, how do you assist someone to exercise wise trust with safe, healthy boundaries that have, been hurt in the past due to their unfortunate experiences? What is your suggestion on that?
Well, there's an interesting thing. So this wise trust comes a lot from the culmination of both the forgiveness that we're talking about for ourselves, for others, for people that have wronged you in the past, and an intelligence that comes along with just growing older. And wise trust kind of comes from a place where you've got a little bit of skepticism, but you have compassion that is sort of outweighs that skepticism. Compassion that you have for others, an excitement to trust and meet new people, and an openness in the sense that you say, well, look, the benefit of meeting this new person is more exciting than the low probability that I'll be hurt by them, you know? And so what happens is, you know, it's not 100% ever with this. This wise trust thing is not a, you know, again, the suspiciousness we're talking about is sort of 100% afraid. Mm-hmm. And the blind trust is sort of 100% trusting. And this is not in the middle, but let's say you've got, you know, 20% chance, if we're going to go with probability here with mathematics, you got a 20% chance someone's going to betray you, and you have this 80% chance that something beautiful is going to come out of this.
And I think most importantly is it lacks...
I do believe in the wise trust. That's an excellent way because it comes with wisdom. And part of really knowing yourself and being able to have confidence to trust in yourself, regardless of what you may encounter. And do you think that much of, forgiveness could come possibly from, like, you know, I think of wisdom, wise trust, I think of empowerment, you know, not only for you, but for all the other people who you will encounter. Do you think that it's important to, would you agree that most healing comes with an apology? Because I know you were speaking of many people won't apologize, and, you know, we shouldn't expect that. But do you think, like you say, if you feel like, you know, you've done something, don't you think that's the beginning of healing, and maybe that's why people are hard to forgive, because, you know, what has been done to them has not been acknowledged?
Maybe not necessarily, because the kind of forgiveness that we're talking about is not something that you're doing for another person, right? So let's could have been, you know, you could be looking for an apology from someone that, you know, doesn't even live, you know, in the same country as you anymore, or someone who's maybe since passed away.
Right. I mean, really good, you know, sort of way to look at this is say, yeah, can you forgive someone who's passed away? Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
And then that comes to, okay, well, if I can never tell them that in person or have a conversation about it becomes all about you.
And
it's not selfish of you to do that. It's just, you know, you realize that this process is a much more internal process than it is an external thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. A lot of people come to me and they share with me a lot of important things and private things with them. And I just, you know, it's always good to get a little fuel and, you know, perspectives on, you know, different options and how to assist people.
No, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
We love that you came.
You guys are doing great.
Yeah, you called us in and had a conversation with us. We really appreciate that. And
excellent.
We hope to
have a great day.
Hear from you again, Cynthia. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. As we continue our discussion on trust and forgiveness, you know, a remarkable thing happened over the summer, Julian. We all saw the very sad, very tragic events that happened in Charleston, South Carolina, where a lunatic killed a bunch of people in a church. And the most stunning thing about that story was that the relatives and loved ones of the victims confronted this guy in court and actually told him, "We forgive you." And the whole country was already paying attention to this story and stunned and saddened by what had happened. But it really inspired a lot of people that these family members and friends and loved ones had the courage and the strength to forgive such a horrible thing. And yet it goes back to the notion earlier that carrying resentment, right, is carrying the original hurt plus the weight of the anger and the hatred and the pain. And so, you know, nothing could ever bring back the family and loved ones of, you know, that were lost in this terrible attack. But the people who were dealing with that pain of losing those people, they made the decision that, hey, you know, we're going to have to spend the rest of our lives feeling this pain, but, you know, we're not going to have the rest of our lives feeling the pain and on top of that, the anger and the hatred and the resentment against this individual. They let go of that.
Absolutely.
And it was unbelievably inspiring to a lot of people. And as sad as that was, I think it's one of the first things that a lot of people think about when they think about that case, which was very sad, very tragic, but I don't know, a very, very spiritual lesson and very courageous and brave people to be able to do that so publicly.
Absolutely. And we have David on the line. Hey, David.
Hey, Julian, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying all of our calls today, and I'm excited to hear what you've got to say about this subject.
All right. I thought it was a long time this to Armand, the first time ever calling in, and I...
Oh, thank you so much for calling.
And I thank God for you guys carrying on his legacy.
Thank you.
My whole thing about forgiveness is that, and you mentioned it earlier, that forgiveness is not about the one who's being forgiven, but forgiveness is about the forgiver. And I think
Absolutely.
At some point in time, you have to forgive so that you can regain your power over your own life. I think when you can't forgive, you relinquish your power to the situation or the individual, and you kind of bind yourself, your own self up.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in forgiveness that I don't think people normally realize this. A lot of people sort of look at forgiveness as weak. They're kind of giving in. They're forgiving because, you know, they're the loser of this so-called match, and this person did something wrong, and then you're letting them go. And a lot of people think of it as a weakness, but I totally agree with you, David. I think there's a lot of power in forgiveness and a lot of... self-confidence that comes along with it, a lot of understanding of yourself that's really exciting too that comes along, and trust for yourself and other people.
Exactly right. And I think that then you're able to, once you're able to do that, then you can you're able to give to trust and to give that person the opportunity to trust them again.
Well, David, I agree with you 100%. It goes back to what I'd said earlier about forgiveness being a one-way street. And it's like you said, it's not so much about the person being forgiven. It's the power that we get as a forgiver, right? We're letting go of something and at the same time almost getting something back, which is a peace of mind and serenity, if you will.
That's right. Well, guys, thank you for taking my call, and keep up the good work, and... wherever Armand is, he's looking down on us, and thank God that you guys have carried on the work.
Thank you so much, David. You're actually going to hear some of Armand tomorrow. We'll be playing a special archive about forgiveness and holding grudges, and you'll get to hear his voice on the radio at 1 p.m. tomorrow, 1 to 2. So please tune in and hear some of that. We love bringing Armand back to you because he's obviously the foundation of all of what we're talking about. And he taught me, Ben and I, everything we know.
All right.
Thank you so much, David.
Take care.
Thanks, David.
Really exciting stuff. I'm glad to hear from all these callers. And keep calling in at 212-757-5555.
Yeah, great callers today, Julian. Yeah. I noticed a pattern. In recent shows, a lot of times we'll choose a topic and we'll get all women calling in, or we'll get all men calling in. And today we've had two men and three women. It's been very even.
I think it's because this is a very relatable topic.
It's universal.
It's very universal. And I think it comes back to, I mean, and everybody has their own way that this happens, this goes about, because forgiveness is not a straightforward thing. And that's why we're talking about it today. And
The number to call here is 212-757-5555. As we are about to wrap up the program, we're talking about forgiveness, trust, the importance of forgiveness. What kind of truster are you? We talked about three different kinds of trust, right? The blind trust, the almost naive kind of trust, the suspicious mentality, which is a person who avoids trust, and the wise trust, right? Isn't that the third one?
Wise trust is that kind of that's the top of the pyramid, this triangle we've got. We've got suspiciousness on the right and the bottom, and we got the blind trust on the bottom left. And, you know, blind trust isn't that bad, and suspiciousness isn't that bad either.
Look, in a perfect world, we could all be blind trusters, right?
Yeah.
In a world without deception, without violence,
I like to say Taiwan is pretty awesome. I'm a big advocate because I went out there coming from New York City where every person is kind of for themselves, and I feel like a lot of people have got their own motives and their own things they're going for. In Taiwan, I walked out there, man, and I said, wow, this place is full of people. I mean, one thing to just tell you about this, when someone's sick there, they wear these surgical masks. And the surgical masks aren't so that they don't get sick. They're actually for to make sure that other people don't get sick because of them.
Wow.
And it's an entirely – it's sort of like everybody just trusts that, you know, they'll put the mask on when they're sick. They'll look out for you when you're crossing the street. They'll give you the right deal. Do the right thing. I don't know how to say that in Chinese yet, but let's get this caller
on. Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable, Julian. I said we've had such an even distribution of calls today, and we have our third male caller after three female callers. We have a perfect gender ratio, 50-50 right now. Mike, you're on the line. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, great topic. Yeah, so I was calling it to say that wise trust is knowing how you are responsible on some very important level for the betrayal you experience.
Yeah, that's a very interesting idea. I'd love to hear more about what you think of that.
Oh, man.
Has it been something you've experienced?
Well, yeah, I think so, sure. It's that, you know, when you have blind trust, you're a child.
Right, it is very childlike, that idea.
And you have no responsibility as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, You're learning, you're absorbing. And then when you're suspicious, you've come to a certain age to question what it is that you actually see with your eyes. You know, you're having impressions.
Right, what lives outside of me and is all that dangerous?
Right. And is it real?
Right.
And then you start to see, but you continue to question what you see. Is it just what's in my head, or is it really what it is that's out there? And then the question is, what's the value of it?
Right.
And the meaning of it?
So, Mike, and just let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Part of what you're saying is, if you experience the same betrayal, right, over and over again,
yes,
then wise trust is coming to learn why maybe that was a constant in your life. Is that what you mean?
I think that's true.
I was just going to say, I absolutely agree with the idea that there's a big part that's played in the people you know in your life that are those kind of people that everything bad sort of happens to them, and they sort of say, oh, the world's out to get me. And a lot of the time it comes from them. I mean,
it's a projection.
It's a really, really interesting
Right, it's a projection
thought.
For their experience, because they're not learning something. And they have to repeatedly experience it, I think, in an attempt to learn it.
Yeah,
and
you know what it reminds me of, Mike?
When they look at the world and they see things, they can properly evaluate and value the aspects of their field of vision and then navigate that.
It's kind of like an experience I had, Mike. I used to live around the corner from a certain street where cars would repeatedly get broken into, right? Cars would always be getting the windows smashed, even stolen from that area, and generally robbed. And it's almost like, if I understand what you're saying is, if you're a person who parked your car on that block three times,
right,
and you had the thing happen three times, eventually you have to start thinking about what you're doing to experience, right?
Well, I think, yeah, if you look at that, you'd say, well, they want to experience that betrayal because it makes them feel good.
Yeah,
it confirms their view, their vision.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They're not blind.
Right,
they have a vision, and it's confirmed in their experience.
And they want to believe in an unsafe world, maybe. And if they, you know, if they keep experiencing this, then now they've been vindicated, right?
Right, and now they're true to their what they're seeing is real, and the way they're reacting is founded, and it all makes sense, even though it's unpleasant.
Yeah,
but it's still survivable.
And it's like Julian said, you know, we do what we need to do to get by. And I appreciate the call, Mike.
Thank you for listening, and a great show.
Thanks.
As always. And I'm so sorry about Armand.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mike. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What do you think, Julian? We have time for one more?
Yeah, I'd love to get one more in here. It's 1:51 p.m. here on Tuesday, September 22nd. My birthday is actually in 2 days.
All right.
Yeah, I know we don't have a program on the day of my birthday like we did last year. So
that was fun.
That was
fun. Yeah, we surprised you.
Yeah.
Didn't we surprise you?
Yeah, Armand.
Or no, we surprised Armand.
No, Armand had a little cake for me, and he played some mariachi band
That's
Happy Birthdays.
That's right. Yeah, I
liked
that.
It. I liked
that
it.
Was fun. One more call. Let's take one more call. 212-757-5555. It's 1:51 here in New York City under cloudy skies, overcast skies. Nice, breezy fall, crisp afternoon. I'm enjoying it.
How cool would it be to be in a radio studio made of glass, and you get to look out over the
city? That would be really cool.
I think that's my goal now.
I think the top of the Sears Tower is like that now.
Yeah, we should get a radio studio up there.
What do they call it? It's not even the Sears Tower anymore. It's got a new name.
I don't know.
Anyway, Brad, you're on the line. Thanks for calling in.
How you doing? You're talking about glass. Peter Sinfield wrote for King Crimson and independently and movies, and he had a saying, keep your windows clean. It's pretty cool.
I like it.
Yeah, I want to talk about forgiveness. We had a small fire. A small fire can be a big problem. It was like the plastic tub surround, and the soot just goes everywhere. Remember when we were kids, you take a little plastic fork and you put it over a campfire, and it makes all this soot and smoke?
Yep, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, we had a problem with the contractor, and unfortunately, other contractors weren't working out. They would say, oh, yeah, we'll do it, and it looked undesirable. They didn't realize they could bill insurance for more than that was sent. And you can. That's called the appraisal clause of the contract, and you should all keep that in mind. So if they send you $10 or something, you can say challenge it and say, I need 13 to do this.
Sure. Now, and you know, Brad, I have a feeling there's a lot of people out there that would like to be able to forgive their contractors.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, again, when contractors would commit and then not answer their phones or show up, we ended up with someone from, it's my gal's house, someone from her family, and Andy has some good money. Showing up in an Escalade, lives on a house on the big house on the water. It's all good, but he wouldn't do by permit and code.
So,
and
Brad, where does the forgiveness aspect come in?
He never billed insurance originally. He billed them with a copy of what was awarded to us, and he could have upped that sum, not to be greedy, but to pay for what was needed. So then when things didn't work out, he billed for things that he really didn't do.
Oh, and so what? How is that shaped you?
And he lied about things,
hear it.
You know? So he's had a chance to correct himself or give back. Well, he gave back. He billed for 3 floors. He only did not even all of one.
And you know, Brad, a lot of people, there's
back. It's called, the insurance program is called Xactimate, meaning they exactly give you this for this task. Anyway, let's move on back to your subject.
Brad,
there's a lot of people out there that have trust issues with contractors and all kinds of business people. I mean, Julian had mentioned at the beginning of the show that society almost runs on trust, right, for all kinds of business transactions and all kinds of relationships. But, yeah. Brad, in the end, were you able to forgive this contractor?
Well, I kind of did just come back from Bible study, too, today. But anyway, what I'm saying is I don't feel that I have to forgive him until things are corrected beyond what he says is done. Is it not done? Not the job's done. He said, well, I won't give you that back. I will give you this, which is a smaller figure. Well, that's all wrong. It's insurance fraud. I'm going to take him to the New York State Insurance Fraud Investigations.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that, Brad. We got to get going because we're right up against our break.
Does the right thing, I don't have to forgive him.
I think that's totally your call, Brad. It's totally up to you. But right now, we're running out of time.
Thank you so, much for calling,
I just wanted
Brad.
To run it by you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe, Armand, we'll always miss you, and we'll always remember you. You're like
absolutely.
Elvis. He's still there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and thank you so much for calling, Brad. And make sure to tune in. We got some little bit of music coming in here. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. And listen to Armand, our late host of The Positive Mind, talking about grudges and forgiveness, what we've been talking about today.
It's a good one, folks. And once again, just want to touch back. It is a very spiritual week. We got the Pope, we got Yom Kippur, we got Eid. So to all of you who are experiencing all of those things, have a wonderful week. Tune in tomorrow at 1 p.m. if you can. To hear a special Armand talking about
Absolutely.
Grudges. Next week, we have some interesting programming for you. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about the doomsday sayers and why apocalyptic predictions are so popular. Because recently, there was one that said that the end of the world was something like this week or last week. And we're going to talk next week because the world's still going to be turning. And we're going to talk about why people always love talking about the end of the world.
Absolutely.
Wednesday, we have a very interesting guest, an author, and an expert from the Society of Psychopathy, people who study psychopathy. And we'll be talking about psychopaths and a specific type of psychopath. So stay tuned right here on 99.5 FM. You can look us up on the iTunes podcast.
iTunes podcast. Go to thepositivemind.com to listen to archives of any other programs in case you want to find some more of us. And also send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org. If you have any questions, letters, ideas,
send
things
Julian
you want
a happy
to say,
birthday letter.
Send me a birthday letter, please. I'd love one from you. Thanks for listening, and you are listening and tuned in to WBAI here at 99.5 FM.